next on AM 1480 WLEA, the Newsmaker Show. Here's Ryan O'Neill.
Welcoming this morning, Penyan Democrat Tracy Matrano. Tracy's taught at Ithaca College, University of Buffalo, Cornell University, and she's running for Congress against Corning Republican Congressman Tom Reed. Tracy Matrano, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Brian. Glad to be on the show.
Well, I want to ask you, first off, a little bio information. You are a law professor. Tell us about your educational background and what you do in education.
Sure. And while I've taught law, I was never actually teaching in a law school, but I did get a doctorate in American history from Binghamton University. And then that's when I taught in some of the schools that you mentioned. Cuca College is actually yet another. And then as I was in Ithaca teaching in human development department over at the School of Human Ecology, I decided then to go to law school. We were just starting a family, but I went to law school. And then when I finished that, I was teaching family and social policy back at Cornell University until I took a position in the administration as director of information technology policy, which I did for about 13 years. Went out on my own, had a consulting business, and then also just before I resigned to commence this campaign, I was helping the University of Massachusetts out with their IT policy, both at the system level and for the flagship in Amherst.
Now, I wanted to ask you, Tracy Matrano, what made you want to get into the race for Congress?
I just have been feeling for some time now that politics has gotten away from the people. I have lived in Western and Southern Tier New York my entire life. And I have watched things get worse rather than better. I was concerned. Part of the other work that I did, I neglected to mention, I was academic dean of a cybersecurity program at UMass Amherst, too. And the influence in our elections from external entities, including governments, has been high on our radar in IT for some time. And then to have that happen with our elections in the way that it did, I thought, gosh, does anybody in Congress have a background in this area? And it turns out they don't. And then I thought, well, gee, maybe I can offer some of my background to help inform the debate. But, you know, when I thought of doing it for our congressman, it just didn't feel right because I don't have the trust in him that I would like to, and I didn't think he would even want to take me up on that offer. So that was the time when I began to consider seriously jumping into the race, and that was last summer, Brian.
Talking to Penyan Democrat Tracy Matrano. Tracy, going over the issues, we might as well start out with education. Your thoughts on education, starting with Common Core.
Well, the one thing at the federal level, curriculum-wise, that I would like to see is information literacy, digital literacy, from our K through 12, you know, right on through. And I say that as a result of what happened in the election of 2016. We have to take the same principles of critical thinking and apply them in the education of our young people using technology. The technology is not going to go away, Brian, so we have to learn how to be smart, adept, and to continue with our democratic values in the use of it. And I believe the curriculum in K through 12 can be better suited to have those principles built right into it.
You said, you mentioned the election of November 2016.
Well, all of the intelligence agencies in the federal government have found that there was Russian influence in particular in our elections of 2016. Now, as an IT specialist, as long as I have been in the field, Brian, I know about the interference, the hacking, the nation-state attacks that have been going on since the Internet became open, frankly, and has only gotten worse. And many of them are propagated by governments, not just by organized crime or random criminals. And so when I was watching that pattern throughout the election, and then, of course, the report came out, that there had been this interference by all of the intelligence agencies, that is when I began to think that, gosh, you know, we must get serious about this. Let me leap forward, Brian, because if anyone who watched Mark Zuckerberg and how Congress interacted with him, you would know we're at a deficit. We do not have a Congress that understands the global economy we have based in information. They don't understand the technology of cyber or cybersecurity. We have to come up to speed on this because it's a matter of our national security as well as the integrity of our democracy.
Did you have any other thoughts on Mark Zuckerberg's appearance before Congress?
I wasn't persuaded with the, oh gosh, I guess we've just figured out that there are bad people on the internet. Not at all. He has been doing this for years, where he pushes out you know, the motto, break it in order to build, has been part of the culture and ethos of Facebook. And I think what he was most interested in was making money. And therefore, they were not watching the store, so to speak, when they were having these other applications come onto their site through contract, through which they made money. And then, of course, there were these great transgressions. Well, you know, since Facebook has been shameless about its use of people's information, it stands to reason that this was not going to be a primary focus. What it said to me, that entire testimony, is we all have to start dealing with the economy and the environment that we now live globally with technology. And we have to do it soon and seriously because it affects everything from our economy, again, to the integrity of our democratic process.
Talking with Penn Yan Democrat Tracy Matrano, who's one of the candidates on the Democrat side running against Congressman Tom Reed. Tracy Matrano, moving on to the next issue, jobs in Western New York and the Southern Tier in this congressional district.
I'm passionate to have jobs come back into this region. I have a vision of how to do it, and that is to, again, and it's on the theme of what we just discussed, move this district forward into the 21st century. So it's not a simple jobs plan. It's not just build an enterprise zone in one part of the district. It's a comprehensive view of how you spur economic development. And you need about five things, Brian, and I'll try to be quick about them. You need healthy people. So we must have health care reform. We're not finished with that issue yet. We must have education and training for people. So I believe in supporting people through vocational, trade, and certification programs. I created a certification program for the University of Massachusetts in cybersecurity, for example, and the people came in. Some of them were college educated already. Some were not. But I know this, in 9 months, they were out in the market and they were making $60,000 to $70,000. And that region is very much like ours. It's in Western Massachusetts, not Boston. It's very rural, in other words. So we have to support education and we have to get it right. You know, at Corning Incorporated, I have been told that they have jobs available they can't fill. And sadly, part of it is people can't pass drug tests. So that goes back to the first point. We need health care, affordable health care. The second point was they're not trained. They don't have the background. We can do that. We've got fabulous educational institutions around this district that we can tie together with these training programs and certificates. The third thing is we need to get the internet out here. It's not in the rural areas where it needs to be, and you cannot have 21st century jobs and machine learning and production through artificial intelligence and so forth without the internet. When I work in IT, I would talk to entrepreneurs and say, hey, we got the Napa of the East here. You know, go away in February or March for a couple weeks and you'll get through the winter. But then, you know, come here. The land is good. It's beautiful. The people are terrific. And they said, yeah, but you don't have the internet. We've got to get the internet. And we did it with electricity and we did it with the telephone in rural areas. Most certainly, if we had the right representation in Congress, we could do it here. Environmental concerns are woven into all of that. You know, one doesn't push forward at the expense of the environment. But it's with those four factors, then, that you attract capital, we can bring that here to this district and really create jobs for the future.
On the issue, as long as you brought up environment, and we're talking with Penn Yan Democrat Tracy Mitrano, wanted to bring up wind and solar, a couple of things that are very big around here. Your thoughts on wind and solar, Tracy?
Oh, absolutely. We should be moving towards renewable energies. I think that would, by the way, Brian, be a really good type of industry that we can bring here into the 23rd. I am in favor of both wind, solar, and, you know, let's add hydro on as well. I know you have the wind farms there. I always observe them going back and forth on 86, and I've been up around and seen them more up close. The one thing we need to be careful about with wind in particular is sometimes it has been implemented at the expense of residents. That is not the case in your county, but it is the case out west in Chautauqua. And this is something we can't do it at the expense of people who don't have a voice, don't know how to represent themselves. The entrepreneurs come in, and of course it's a matter of where the wind is good. And if it happens to be near someone's home, we unfortunately find that town planning and zoning boards are willing to give licenses before they have done a thorough review and impact on the people in the area. And sometimes they've given a variance of 750 feet. People are next to these huge turbines. So I am totally for renewable energies. I think it's a great industry for our district, but we can't do it at the expense of the people who are least equipped to represent themselves. We have to do it with keeping working and middle-class people in our thoughts.
Talking today on the Monday Newsmaker with Penn Yan Democrat Tracy Mitrano. Next up, healthcare. I see this statement on your website. The U.S. is the only Western developed nation in which a hardworking family can go bankrupt from a hospital stay.
No, it's the number one cause of bankruptcy in the United States, Brian, is medical debt. Yes.
Your thoughts on the Affordable Care Act and the work to repeal it on the part of your opponent, Congressman Tom Reed?
Well, you know, he shifts and shimmies whenever he can. I just saw him in Enfield, New York, and I think he's gotten the memo that people who now have health care under the ACA don't want those benefits taken away. So at least what he said was, oh, no, you know, we'll still support it, but we're not going to repeal it. I don't know. Mr. Reed changes his position whimsically, so I'm just sharing with you what I heard about his position. Look, here's the real deal. 20 years ago, when I was teaching family and social policy at Cornell, the issues that we talked about were health care reform, Family Medical Leave Act, daycare reform. We're still talking about those issues. Now, you know, if you're in a personal relationship, let's say this is just an example, I'm going to make an analogy, and you keep fighting about the same things over and over and over again, you never get to the next step. You never get to the deepening and trustful place in the relationship so that you can enjoy it more, so that if you have children, you're nurturing them, your focus is on them instead of fighting over the same whatever issue that, you know, started it. And enjoying your life. This is where the United States has been. It keeps fighting over the obvious. All developed Western countries have a baseline of medical care that is available to everyone in the country. And they are able then to move on to other issues instead of like an engine that won't turn over. We are roiling over this one. And here's the other piece to it. As I've gone around this district, Brian, every single type of constituency, Republican or Democrat, tell me the same thing, that that's their number one issue. Farmers tell me one disease, one accident, and our family finances go out the window. And, of course, I hear it from so many other people who can't get a head start in life. They're independent. They're self-reliant. They want to work. They want to be out there. But I know of cases where people moving off welfare have had to go back on it because they can't afford the health care for their children if they're out working. This is not making any sense. We have to rethink all of our programs in these areas, from healthcare to daycare to all of the programs that we would put under the umbrella of welfare, so that we incentivize people to work, but we don't punish them because they're poor to start with. And healthcare, as I said, is the number one reason why people are in debt. It's the number one reason why they can't move off of welfare and Medicaid and move out into the market. Now, by the way, I have a developmentally disabled brother, and I saw his conditions before Medicaid and after Medicaid, and I believe in maintaining all of those programs for the people who cannot speak for themselves. I will be their voice to be sure that they have a humane environment, and I know that first person, you know, up close and personal in my own life.
Talking with Penyon Democrat Tracy Matrano. Going to take a quick break. Check the weather. We'll be back in just a moment.
Andy Carbone, your host at JC's Cafe in Hornell, thanks everyone who attended the Easter Buffet at the VFW. Andy's looking forward to seeing you again at his special JC's Mother's Day Brunch, also at the Hornell VFW, just down the street. Why don't you call JC's Cafe today to place a reservation for the awesome and value-packed Mother's Day Brunch? The number to reach Andy Carbone at JC's Cafe is 324-4428. Treat Mom to Brunch, hosted by the one and only Andy Carbone and JC's Cafe.
If you liked our radio auctions,
now 150, but it go 175. How about 50, but it 175, it goes 70.
You'll love our certificate sale. Just go to fun921.com and click shop. There you'll find certificates for sale from your favorite local sponsors. Kimberly Glover, LLC, K&K Auto, BK's Boutique, JC's Cafe, Patty's Pub and Grill, The Classy Cafe and Deli, and others. Visit fun921.com every day for new savings. Don't know how to work a computer? No problem. Visit us at our radio station on Ashbaugh Hill, Monday through Fridays, 9:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Cash, check, or credit cards accepted.
Checking in now with meteorologist Rob Carolyn. Hey, Rob, it's Monday, 48 degrees outside. What do you know?
What do I know? Well, as we go through today, Brian, the weather is actually going to improve. We've got a lot of cloudiness right now between Albany and Buffalo, between Rochester and the Pennsylvania border, but this will be breaking up and moving out. It has already started clearing across eastern Ontario, and that clearing line should start to work its way towards us. So we go from cloudy skies this morning into some afternoon sunshine. Brian, temperatures will warm up with the sun coming out, 60 to 65. Sun came up this morning at 5:56. It'll be setting tonight at 8:17. Now, with high pressure headed our way from Minnesota overnight, we'll have clear skies and cool weather. We'll drop down to about 35 to 40. Sunny's the story for tomorrow, with high pressure building in. It'll be milder, close to 70. Tomorrow night, clear to partly cloudy, 40 to 45. And the outlook for Wednesday, Brian, abundant sunshine. Highs will be close to 75 degrees.
All righty. Thanks a lot, Rob.
You got it, sir.
Back with Tracy Matrano, the Penyon Democrat. I'm Brian O'Neill. And Tracy Matrano, continuing with the issues now, Second Amendment.
Oh, yes. This is obviously a very, very important issue for the entire country. It's an important issue for this district. It could potentially be the wedge issue. I have no intention of that being the case. My father was a hunter. All of my uncles on both sides were hunters. In fact, they used to hunt not far from Hornell, over down in the Cohocton River. My dad used to go after ducks and geese, but my uncles liked deer. And so, you know, this is a part of our family. It's a part of our culture. I'm from Western New York. But what we have to do in this day and age about the issue, I have the following suggestions on tap. First of all, I think we do have to totally tighten the background checks. No loophole. We also have to maintain it at the federal level. Don't let it devolve down to the states. And we have to have enforcement teeth. There are entities such as the Air Force that didn't report the one gentleman who then went on in Texas in a massacre at a church. And that one might have been able to be avoided had we had enforcement teeth such that the Air Force would have reported. The next thing we need, I do believe, in school resource officers. Now, I think we have to have a alternative for those districts that do not want to have armed officers on their campus. and they can take that alternative so that they can have unarmed ones. But at the federal level, we need to fund and train these individuals so they can be in our schools. And let me tell you why I've taken that position, even though it tends to be a Republican position, Brian. You know why? Because the studies show that students want it. And if we learned anything from Parkland, we know that we are obliged to listen to their voices. Those poor children at Sandy Hook, they're too young to have a political voice. It's a shame that we had to learn to listen to the students in yet another tragic incident. But they now tell us, and there's a wonderful book I recommend. It's called Rampage. Many of the people are the American Academy of Sciences authors. And the studies show that students want those resource officers. The third thing I advocate, and this will be the most controversial, I suspect, certainly the NRA won't like it, is that we need to repeal the immunity that gun manufacturers have to tort suits. I don't understand for the life of me why we can sue a pharmaceutical company, as we should, about opiate addiction. We could sue tobacco, as we did. We could sue sugar, we could sue an automobile manufacturer, but by law we're not allowed to sue a gun manufacturer, and they make inherently dangerous products. Once we lift that immunity and individual people begin to bring their cases, we will understand so much more about then what Congress may or may not do to help with this problem of gun violence in this country. Really, we need gun safety, and I am just as supportive of Constitution as anybody else. We can balance public safety with Second Amendment rights. I'm suggesting a method by which we educate ourselves the most in order to know exactly which particular steps to take. And now I'm speaking of some of the reforms, such as the definitions of automatic, semi, the definitions for assault and so forth. I think we need these tort cases to help us sort all of that out. So the three things, again, the background checks sewing up. Second, I do believe in resource officers, although there should be an alternative for districts to opt out of the armed component. And finally, lift the immunity that gun manufacturers enjoy to tort suits.
Tracy Matrano, Penyan Democrat, we are out of time. I do want to thank you for coming on. Hope we can have you back.
I would love to be back, Brian. You're terrific. I love Hornell. I had a great time at the St. Patrick's Day Parade, and I look forward to being there again and meeting people.
Thank you very much. It's AM 1480 WLEA Hornell.